Hello, hockey humans of the world, and welcome to Tough Call Pod Season 2, where I talk about all things player safety in the NHL. Questionable hits, controversial calls, join the over 2,500 others who follow me on Twitter, at Tough Call Blog, like and follow the Tough Call Facebook page, and find me on Instagram as well, Tough Call Podcast, for videos of all the latest incidents and to hear my takes on them. Send me your own clips of any hit or call you'd like me to talk about, and take a second right now and hit the subscribe button on this podcast. And while you're there, you could also leave me a review, preferably 5 stars. It'll really help me reach even more people and get the message out on how we can reduce the instances of head contact and concussions in hockey. Did you subscribe? Perfect. And thank you. Now on with the show. Hi folks, welcome back to Tough Call. I'm Josh and thanks for joining me again. We're about 5 days into the Stanley Cup playoffs, and what a playoffs it's been. It's been the best playoff hockey I can remember seeing in a long time. The pace and the physicality, without somehow taking away from the pace. How can there be that many hits and still have the players moving that fast and not affecting the speed of the game? It's incredible. It's amazing what more and more players can do at high speed these days. And let me say the physicality has been mostly good, clean, hockey-based stuff. It's been great. Because if you stop too long to try and cheap shot someone, you're getting left behind the way the games are going. So having said that, there's been some dirty stuff here and there. And I want to point out that it isn't just regular playoff hockey stuff where things are heated and it naturally escalates. There's no middle ground where, you know, things start to get start clean and then they start to go into questionable things until it escalates in an expected progression. So far, either the playoffs are hockey-focused and clean, or they're so far away from a hockey play, it's ridiculous. So I do have quite a few plays I would have suspended by now, and I have a bunch of videos on the Tough Call YouTube channel so far, and I recommend taking a few minutes and checking those out. Most of the videos are only 3 minutes or less, and it might make it easier to listen to the rest of this if you're already familiar with the couple incidents in question and my analysis of them that I'm going to talk about. So go ahead and watch a few clips, and each time you watch a video on the YouTube channel, please hit the thumbs up button. That really helps me out. Go ahead and leave a comment. And of course, if you haven't already, be sure to hit the subscribe button. And yeah, so as I was saying, because of the pace and the high level of normal hockey physicality, the really dirty stuff is standing out like a sore thumb. I know I have a lot of suspensions so far. That doesn't mean I'm not enjoying the hockey or don't think it's good hockey. And people always say I seem like I just don't like hitting or that I want hitting out of hockey. But I think so far this playoff is proof that if you just eliminate the obviously dirty stuff and all the antics, it brings out the good physicality. Because that's all there is left. There's actually more of it. Players are too busy playing hockey. They don't want to go too out of the way to force things that aren't there and take themselves out of position. So there's actually more hockey-related physicality, and I hope it continues because it's been great to see. Now I'm just going to jump right into the Nazem Kadri hit on Justin Falk from last night. I have a video on that, so watch it if you haven't yet to find out what I'd suspend Kadri for, but he has an in-person hearing later today which gives the NHL the option of suspending for more than 5 games. And I'll say this, if it is longer than 5 games, it'll be on history alone, which don't get me wrong, I'm fully on board with, but this hit wasn't nearly as bad as, say, the Sam Bennett hit that earned him a 1-game suspension a couple days ago. Where, as I said, I'd give Sam Bennett a 9-game suspension because what he did was just so far beyond hockey. It's not even in the same ballpark as what Kadri did here. But it is a good time to bring up head contact again. And this Kadri hit is why I hate there being so much focus on head contact, the head contact portion of hits. Because he's going to do the exact same hit next time. He's already proven that. And the only reason it was called a match penalty is because there was an injury, because there was head contact. Which, whatever, it definitely was a major penalty, and it should be punished. But he's going to do the exact same hit next time, and it's not going to be a penalty if he doesn't hit the head. Even though this hit is just as dangerous without head contact, because the approach he takes to hitting is more likely to result in head contact. So as I say, you should punish the act, not the result. The way he rises up and lunges, there's got to be a penalty for rising up excessively or unnecessarily, even without leaving your feet. Call it a roughing. Even call it a charge if you want. Just something to indicate you're punishing for something other than just specifically that there was head contact. Because head contact alone isn't a penalty, nor should it be. I'm all for punishing things that result in head contact more severely than things that don't, but I do it in a way that we still know what the true penalty is, what the mechanism is that caused the head contact. And today, we've got Ray Ferraro with a tweet saying, "I've never understood why the hitter doesn't keep his stick on the ice. Lowers shoulders, lowers point of contact, safer, and won't be suspendable." That's his quote. And to me, that is everything I want stated from a respected long-term NHL veteran. If you're puck-focused or hockey play-focused and hitting with a hockey purpose instead of overcommitting with the approach of hitting as hard as possible, you'll be more likely to do things that naturally lead to safer contact. I say the same thing all the time. Keep your stick on the ice. I say no good can happen when you have two hands on your stick with your stick parallel to the ice. You should always be looking for stick on puck. And if you do that, you keep your stick on the ice, it naturally keeps your legs bent, keeps yourself in a good posture for checking. To me, that's not trying to ruin the game or take hitting out of hockey. It's wanting to put the hockey back in hitting. Now I'm going to move on to Brad Marchand. Now, after game two of their series, I'd have suspended Marchand 12 games for his shenanigans on Anthony Mantha. But keep in mind, 7 of those games were for spearing, and 5 games were for an automatic penalty that I have in my system, an automatic 5-game suspension for needlessly endangering an official, which I feel Marchand did with his high stick. And again, I encourage you to watch my video on that incident, so I'm not going to get into it too much, but the actual high-sticking part where he put a stick against the side of Mantha's head twice after the linesman already stepped in, so there's an original altercation, the linesman steps in, breaks it up, separates the players, and Marchand reaches across and puts a stick on Mantha's neck and hits him in the head twice after the linesman is already in the way. I give him 5 games for that because you're putting the linesman in an impossible position. But anyway, even without my automatic suspension for that, I'd have still given him somewhere between 3 and 5 games for the same thing, probably just 3 games, so something a little bit lower, but still, 3 games for unsportsmanlike conduct, for the unsportsmanlike conduct aspect of that. All you're trying to do is cause trouble. It would have sent a message to not do this kind of crap after the whistle and initiate altercations, or worse yet, keeping altercations going even after the linesman has stepped in and settled things down. And sure enough, the very next game, game 3 of the same series, he does it again. He's facing Brendan Dillon of the Washington Capitals, and the linesman is in between them, and Marchand reaches across with his stick and lays it on Dillon's shoulder beside his neck. What is that? Now, Dillon grabs the stick and he's laughing about it because he knows it's coming, but what if he didn't? What if he got mad and jumped around or threw the linesman to get at Marchand? Sure, he'd be punished, but if you're going to punish him for doing it, then you should be rewarding him for not being sucked in by penalizing the instigators who try and start it all the time. It's the antics of Marchand, how he always asks, how much crap can I cause, and how can I escalate things to a dangerous level without actually getting in trouble myself? Well, I'd have a quick answer for him. 3 games says you'd better find a different way than what you're doing right now. But like I said, even with all of these obvious things and the kind of easily preventable things, the hockey has been quite good, it's been physical, and it's been fast. And speaking of fast and physical, what is going on with Game 1 between the Edmonton Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets? After watching some of the other series, that was a major snooze fest. There was no passion, no drive. It was one of the most boring games I've watched. There was no battle or compete. And it wasn't like the Winnipeg Jets talked about how they needed to be physical and take the Oilers off their game and try and slow down their skill game. There was no game from the Oilers to be taken off of, I don't think. It just was a very lackluster game at a slow speed and not a whole lot going on. That is not the hockey I want. Let's make that clear. I want the physicality, I want the battles, and I want the competition. And other than maybe a handful of players, I didn't see much of that in Game 1. It was very much a letdown compared to the series in the other division. So I hope that that doesn't continue. Now, even though that was a pretty short episode, I think I covered quite a bit. And I encourage you to spend some time on my YouTube channel to really get a feel for where I'm going with this and how I can apply things consistently. I think it's going very well so far. I'm very happy with what's going on. And I'm very curious to see how the actual NHL's Department of Player Safety handles the Nazem Kadri incident. Now, before I go, I want to thank everyone again who sends me clips or tags me in other people's posts. And if you want to do that, if you see something you want me to weigh in on or something you want me to make a video about, let me know. Find me Tough Call on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tough Call Blog, and subscribe to the YouTube channel and get in the comments. Enjoy the hockey, and I'll be talking to you again soon. Hi folks, thanks for listening to Tough Call. If you're enjoying my takes on head contact and player safety, but you'd like to hear me talk about other aspects of hockey, I'd like to take just a minute and tell you about another project of mine, Bolton from Bolton. Bolton from Bolton is where I, Josh Bolton, and my brother Matt, you guessed it, Bolton,
set each other up for lively hockey talk covering literally anything to do with it. It's not heavy analysis and stats, it's kitchen banter, like you do with your own family and friends. Head over to YouTube and subscribe to our Bolton from Bolton channel. That's B-O-U-L-T-O-N. Or find us on all audio formats as well. We find ourselves funny. Maybe you will too. And there's only one way to find out. See you there. And now, back to Tough Call.
At Tough Call, I'm not trying to pick on specific teams or individual players. I want to make the game safer for every player on every team, across every league, really, with no player left behind. I want to cover as many incidents as I possibly can to increase the sample size and make a stronger case for how harsher penalties and properly targeted player education can work in reducing head contact in hockey, all instances of it. The Department of Player Safety supposedly has people watching every second of every game. Now, as much as I'd like to watch every game, as much as I try to, and as much as I'd like to have video of every questionable incident, the truth is, I'm only one man with an iPhone and the Game Center app. I already get a lot of help from people like you who send me videos or links to incidents, or even just a quick tweet or message saying, hey, did you see? Third period, Bolts-Kings game, checking to the head penalty. Something like that. It means a lot, and it makes a huge difference. Follow me on Twitter at ToughCallBlog, and like the Facebook page Tough Call, and as you watch, if you see a cheap play or something dirty or anything that makes you go, hey, you idiot, what are you watching? How did you miss that? Please send it my way, and a big thank you to those of you who already do. Keep them coming.